Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. We're now in the Pentecost season, and the Pentecost season focuses on growth, focuses on sanctification. And another thing that we see in the Pentecost season is that the first reading most likely connects with the gospel reading, and we see this today. The epistle is a continuous reading, so today we heard from Galatians. Next week we'll hear from Galatians as we continue to go through the book. That passage, the epistle, necessarily doesn't tie in per se, but the Old Testament and the gospel, there normally is a connection, and we see this. We see Solomon dedicating the temple, praying in the year 827. He's praying about God's glory and his presence dwelling within the temple. And what he also prays for is that when the foreigner hears about the name of God, when the foreigner recognizes the dwelling place of God in the temple, that they will come from afar and they will come and they will bring their petitions before the temple. And by doing that, their prayers will be answered. So it's obvious, we see in the gospel this centurion, this Gentile, he gets his prayer answered. He has a slave that is very sick, almost to the point of dying, and a miracle happens. If you ever have a chance to go to Capernaum, you would walk down this long road, come to the Lake of Galilee because it's setting right there at the lake, and the first thing you will see is what historians believe to be Peter's mother-in-law's house, which is built right there. To the left of that, there is a synagogue that is built upon the ruins of the first synagogue that was built there that many believe was the synagogue that this soldier built for the people of Israel. So that gives a lot of credibility to the story in the gospel this morning, that synagogue, the foundation at least, is still there, and you can still see it, which is wonderful. But there's one little problem, and that is that the centurion never, ever saw the temple of Solomon. Follow me. Solomon is praying before the temple, and he's saying, I could never contain you. How can the heavens contain you? How could this temple contain you? Yet I have built this temple for you to dwell, for your presence, for your name to dwell in this specific location. Then he prays for the foreigner, those people who are not Jews, that if they hear about the name of God, if they recognize his salvation, his presence, they will come to Jerusalem, they will come to Solomon's temple, they will pray before the gates, because if you know the story of the temple, they couldn't go inside. There was a gated area, there was a court of the Gentiles, and they couldn't go any further. But this centurion never, ever saw that temple. Why? Because the Babylonians destroyed the temple of Solomon. In the year 587, Nebuchadnezzar came in and leveled the temple and all of Jerusalem and took the people of God into captivity. So this was long before this man was even born. So he never had a chance to go to Jerusalem to see with his own eyes the temple. Like, I've been to Israel 7 times. I've never seen the temple. Because after Solomon, there was another temple built that was built by Herod. And that also was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus and his army. So even though I've been to Jerusalem many, many, many times, I've never seen the temple of Herod, and I've never seen the temple of Solomon. Now, there was a difference before the first or the second temple. One is that the temple of Solomon contained the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Holies of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. This was wonderful because the Ark was the presence of God. This was the meeting place between God and his people. So Solomon, when he built the temple, he placed the Ark of the Covenant into the Holies of Holies, but that was all taken away. When Nebuchadnezzar came in, the Babylonian captivity, and destroyed that temple, the Ark of the Covenant was never, ever seen again. when they built the second temple, Herod, the holies of holies was empty. There was nothing in it. Kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. You pull back the curtain and you realize there's really nothing there. And so when Herod built the temple, it was an empty room with no Ark of the Covenant. So here's the problem. We have in the Old Testament a prophecy that God would draw the Gentiles, or the foreigners, to the Temple of Solomon, to the Holies of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant would rest, and that they would hear about God's name, that they would hear that God would dwell in this place, in this Holies of Holies, and they would pray towards that area, and their prayers would be answered. But the man in today's gospel never has a chance to see it. He doesn't go down to Jerusalem. Nevertheless, his prayers are answered. The reason why is he recognizes that in Jesus is the name of God and the presence of God. This centurion who built the synagogue is welcomed by the temple. Not in Jerusalem, not built by hands of Herod or by Solomon, but built by God. This centurion has heard about Jesus. Capernaum was a trade area. Many people would come through. They had Roman soldiers there. They had a lot of commerce there. They had tax collectors there. So this was a center point. People would travel through. So people would hear about the name of Jesus. And this is where Jesus lived for many years. Peter's mother-in-law had a house there. The remains are still there. So people would talk about all of the miracles that Jesus was doing. So the centurion heard about it, and he believed that this servant could be healed. So he doesn't have to go to Jerusalem. He doesn't go down to see Herod's temple, which does not have the Ark of the Covenant. Rather, he recognizes that in the person of Jesus Christ, the name of God dwells and the presence of God dwells. And so he has a request. He asks that Jesus would heal his servant. But he doesn't want to approach him because he's very sensitive to the Jewish law. The Jewish law, a Gentile would never have a Jewish person come into their home. There were boundaries. There were separation, cleanliness rules. Even in the temple, a Jewish person could go further into the area of the Ark of the Covenant area where there were divisions within Gentiles, where there would be separate courts where they would have to be. And you couldn't go past that. In fact, if you did, the penalty was death. So this man is respecting it because he's a God-fearing Gentile. And he says, I didn't presume that I would come to you. Rather, just say the word, because I know that I am unworthy. If you've ever been in a Catholic Mass or ever been raised in the Catholic Church, you probably are familiar with these words. He says these words, I am not worthy to come to you, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, is the words that he literally says. He's talking about his house. In the Catholic Mass, when the people gather just before the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, they say, I am not worthy that you should come underneath my roof. They're referring to the roof of their mouth. They're referring to receiving the Eucharist. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. So what can we learn from this morning? I think what we can learn is, number one, the great humility and the great faith of this man. He recognizes that coming to Jesus and bringing this request, there's nothing within himself that he can bring to the table. And I think we also, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we can have the same attitude. That we are not worthy to receive Christ anew. That in the sacrament is the very name of God. In the sacrament is the very presence of God. Not in Jerusalem, not in the mosque that is built there today, not in the temple area where Herod had his temple built, but in Jesus. And where is Jesus to be found today? He is found in the sacred meal. He is found within bread and wine for those who have faith, those who have hearts to believe. And so I think what we can learn from this foreigner is that we're all foreigners. We're all outsiders. We don't deserve God's grace or his mercy. And the greatest thing that he can do for us is to heal our soul. So we come to the altar this morning with the same words, recognizing his presence, number one, as the centurion recognized the presence of God in Christ. And he came in great humility and in great faith. And he knew that it was the word of God that changed everything. He said to him, "You don't have to come to my house. I don't have to come to your house. I'm a man of authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I tell this person to do this, and it happens." So all you have to do, Jesus, all you have to do is say the word, and it will be. In the Eucharist this morning, it is the word of Christ. It is not my words. It's not his words. It is the word of Christ over the elements. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. In our rationale and in our intellect, we say, how can this be? Many people would probably laugh at that and say, how can you actually believe that in the sacrament you're receiving the very presence of God? Well, I think we can emulate the faith of this foreigner, recognizing that it is the word of God, that he says the word, and what he says he means, and what he means he brings about, doesn't he? Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.